Okay, thanks everyone for coming. It's always, we've done this now, this is the fourth one, so we've done it in three of the states, and it's always been great to get people along, and we know that it's a big ask to get people here for the whole day, because everyone's very busy and we know the feeling, but it's actually really valuable to us, and we hope it's valuable to you as well, because I guess the idea of this whole workshop is for us to give you information about the network, but also to really pick your brains as well, because as Mark said, we've really done this at a national scale, and now we're really trying to get down to some of the important local detail. So, for those of you who don't know me, I'm from James Cook University. So Leslie is also here today, so Leslie's the other co-convener of the Terrestrial Network. So it's the first time that we've actually had both of us at the one workshop, one roadshow, so that's great. But anyway, I'm from James Cook University, where I run a research centre looking at the impacts of climate change on biodiversity, primarily in tropical rainforests, but also in some of the other tropical habitats up north. Mark's already ran through this, really. We've got a sort of, we usually try to have a series of talks, sort of a bit of a national flavour, a bit of a state flavour. I guess the ACT is a little bit different because we've sort of got the strong both federal and state presence in the one place, which in the other ones we've usually just been having the local and state government sort of emphasis. We try to get some local conservation NGOs and so on involved as well. The really important bit, though, I guess, is the last bit, which is the workshop session this afternoon. So, I guess, why are we here? Well, basically, we thought that this would be a really important thing to do from the network's point of view, because, as I sort of mentioned, the idea is it's really to be a two-way flow of information that to come around and actually explain to people what we do, what we're trying to do, where we're aiming to do, and how you can be involved in the network, how you can actually get benefit out of being involved in the network. And I guess in terms of the outcomes down there, you know, both raising the awareness of what we're doing to you guys, but getting your feedback into the network as well. And then the idea is that at the end of this whole roadshow, where we've done it in each of the states, so the way that we've been working it so far is we've been putting out a very brief summary of the workshop on the website, more or less straight away after the workshop. But then we'll wait until we've done all of the workshops, and then we'll be having we'll write a full, more formal report that summarises the results from all around the country. And I guess the sort of things that we would like you to be thinking about during the day and to contribute to this afternoon is, you know, from the things that you've probably already seen so far at the national level, you know, what's been missed? Are there any emissions that you think are really important? And more importantly even, I guess, is what the specific priorities and challenges in your area of interest are and the job that you've got to do at whatever level that is, what you think are the important bits, what research is needed, and what are the main impediments to you actually getting good adaptation outcomes for terrestrial biodiversity. So, this is a question that is asked less and less, and thank God, because my answer to that question really is pretty much just yes. And that's as much as I'm going to go into it today. there's so much information out there now that it's really a waste of your time and my time trying to go through the thing. But I put this one up because I think this is a really good summary that's just come out of the Australian Academy of Science, which is a really useful summary for people who have to deal with either skeptics or just, you know, interested public who are trying to get answers and to the general questions about climate change, the sort of the uncertainties and the certainties. And I just find that's a really useful report to answer those questions, and it's a great document. It's fairly sort of conservative, I guess, but that's as it should be, and it's very solid science. As I said, there's been a whole lot of reports. These are just a couple of examples around the country. You know, the biodiversity vulnerability assessment is one of the major ones. There's the National Adaptation Research Plan, which has come from NCARF. I'm not even sure what examples I've got up there now. There's some specific ones from Queensland and so on. There's been reports all around the country dealing with this question. And as I said, now we're trying to get down to a little bit more detail. You've all seen these sort of figures probably 1,000 times, like I have. Changing temperature, changing rainfall around the country. We all know that every year we've been having records continuously broken. the hottest year, the hottest month, seven out of the top 10 hottest, etc., 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 increasing fires, etc. There's been more and more refined projections of what's going to happen over the rest of the century. And I guess in summary, we're expecting higher temperatures, more frequent and more intense heat waves and droughts, changing rainfall, not just drier, some parts of the country are getting wetter. But in the paces of getting drier, obviously drought is a big problem. Increasing fire weather and extreme fire danger days is a big problem. And up in the mountains where I worked, a higher cloud base is also a significant problem with increasing temperature, and the clouds being at an average height, those clouds blowing through the rainforest canopy actually produce a huge proportion of the water going into the system, and that the cloud stripping is predicted to decline with that increased cloud height. So what will be the impacts of all of these changes? Well, the IPCC has identified natural ecosystems and biodiversity as the most vulnerable sector, which I guess is a fairly, and that's what we have to deal with, basically, that we're in the area of research and area of management that's going to have the biggest impacts and probably the least capacity to adapt. We've already had lots and lots and lots, and Leslie would be much better at quantifying all this than I would, but there's been thousands of publications and papers and studies around the world in almost every ecosystem demonstrating changes in distribution and abundance, changing in the timing of things like migration, breeding, impacts on the physiology, changes of interactions between pollinators and plants, etc., etc., and lots of interactions with other stresses, particularly relevant in Australia as invasive species, I think, in fire, drought, and disease dynamics. So there's already been lots of impacts. There's been predictions done that those impacts will be much worse for terrestrial biodiversity than most other sort of sectors. This is sort of one of the papers that came out a few years ago now that caused a lot of controversy, because basically the prediction was that about a third of all species may go extinct this century. Obviously a fairly confronting fact. So I guess the whole NCARF process started with this question. What can we actually do to minimise the effects? We all know that we're going to have impacts. No matter what emission controls that were instigated around the world now, we're still going to have some level of impact, and that's where adaptation can be really important. So I guess in terms of minimising those impacts on terrestrial biodiversity in our situation, that's what our interest is. Obviously, the two things are adaptation and mitigation, and there's a lot of interaction between those two. There's a lot of back and forth into how they could interact with each other. Mitigation is, I still think, is the most important thing that we have to emphasise. That's really the be-all and end-all of what impacts we will get. But there is still a lot of stuff that we can do in the meantime to actually increase our chances of minimising the impacts. I use this cartoon just to illustrate the mitigation thing, the importance of that. And of course, all around the world, it's been happening every climate change meeting. No one really wants to bite the bullet and do it.